Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, and today we are diving deep into a topic that many of you, whether you're deep in a prep or just on your own fitness journey, have probably brushed up against, and that is burnout. That twinge in your gut, the whisper that says, I don't know how much longer I can keep this up. We're not just talking about physical fatigue. We're talking about the emotional unraveling that can come from living too long in misalignment or on someone else's version of discipline. Today, I'm joined with a powerhouse athlete, coach, and voice in the space, Sham Haynes, who has not only felt that whisper herself, but has done the work to listen, pivot, and protect her passion. Thank you so much, Sham, for being on today.
Thank you for having me on today. You had some crazy key points just out of that intro itself, and I'm excited about it. I even have my little pen and notepad so that I don't miss a beat. I want to make sure we address it all.
I love it. Well, today, listeners, we're going to be unpacking what burnout really looks like before it knocks you flat, how to communicate burnout to your coach without ghosting, why your inner child is usually the one throwing the tantrum, the danger of living split between what you think you should do and what you truly want, and how to step back without spiraling out. So whether you're prepping for your next show or just trying to keep your head above water in your fitness journey, this episode is here to remind you, you can always pivot and you don't have to lose yourself to find your discipline again. So kicking off this podcast, I wanted to introduce the topic of recognizing burnout. I think obviously it's like, this is like the segue to kind of unpacking the topic of burnout is first we have to have that awareness. So,
Right.
Sham, what does burnout feel like to you? And are there early signs that you've learned to notice?
Absolutely. For me, it is, I know how I feel when I am whole. I think that's the initial key. Knowing how you feel when you're whole. What do you do as your peak version of self-care? On one of my check-in questionnaires, I ask my clients, what does peak self-care look like for you? Before we work together, before it's a part of my pre-training questionnaire. And in the weekly check-ins, when I actually work with them, I ask, what did you do for self-care this week? What does self-care look like this week? Whether it's going for a coffee, going for a walk. So first understanding what peak self-care looks like for you, not for anyone else. For some people, it may be a whole spa day, but what if you don't have the budget for a full spa day? Or whatever you like to consider peak self-care. And that week, it may be running a hot bath or going for a walk with friends or just reading a book in a park. So, just knowing who I am and where I need to be as a whole, that is, and I see that kind of dwindling away and I'm not giving myself that attention. That's when I notice burnout is happening. I am paying less attention to myself and more attention to everything around me and not giving myself self-care.
I love that your way of recognizing the burnout is actually holding up that mirror to the contrast, right? Like first identifying what is peak, right? Like you said, peak self-care. I think, for me, I've always noticed, and this was kind of my follow-up question to you, was like, have you ever ignored the whispers until it became a scream? I've became a lot more attuned to my body's whispers. I have definitely felt burnout, and when I feel burnout, it feels to me like just a complete shutdown. I feel very numb, I think, when I reach that rock bottom. It's like I'm not crying over things. I'm not frustrated over being spread too thin. I'm just numb to the process. But that numbness, it comes on as a whisper. It's not just all of a sudden you wake up and you have no feeling. I think that as that feeling of burnout is kind of looming, I'll start to notice like I feel indifferent, right, towards tracking my macros. I feel indifferent about going to the workout that I've set, signed up to go do. I feel indifferent about waking up in the morning and taking check-in pictures as opposed to kind of excited.
Like robotic. I feel like as athletes, and I'm not one of them, but I feel like as athletes, we pride ourselves on being robots. Don't think, just do. Just do what your coach says. And that is I want you to do what your coach says. I do what my coach say, but I also address things with my coach, which we'll talk about as we go on. But I feel as though being a robot is not who we are. You know, like we're not robots. So when you feel yourself becoming a little bit, like you said, indifferent, robotic in how you go about things, I'm waking up, I'm doing my check-in, I'm going through the motions, I'm sending in my videos. Or if you have a coach that has you send in form videos of you training, if you have an online coach, like you just feel like robotic in the movement. You're not as intentional as you would be. So definitely that same. I'll raise my hand. I volunteer as tribute.
Have you this is, I think that a lot of us too, like we talked about those whispers, we'll feel robotic maybe 2 days out of the week, right? And then all of a sudden the 2 days turns into three and four and five, and we wait oftentimes too long to pay attention to these signs. And I think that sometimes I've had it happen to me. Fortunately, I've never done this to a coach, but I've definitely had it happen to me as a coach where I think people all of a sudden ignore those whispers. They reach rock bottom, and all of a sudden it's like I can't even check in. And then 3 weeks will go by, and all of a sudden get a message, "Hey coach, hey, sorry, I had a really busy few weeks, and I just kind of needed to take a step back." Why do you think that that happens?
I'm about to hurt feelings. I'm
Mm-hmm.
about to hurt feelings. I feel like that happens because of the lack of accountability. If you don't hold yourself, it's because they're expecting you to hold all of the accountability to where they, as a client, whereas I am a client myself, I hold my own accountability, but I also hold my coach accountable because we are a team. I feel like that happens because I can't hold myself accountable to checking in, although I've been off or I've reached rock bottom. Hold yourself accountable to communicate, you know, not just do. I feel like a lot of people get coaches because they want to just do what the coach do, what the coach tells them to do. Sorry about that. Instead of just communicating, like you have to hold yourself accountable to also communicate with your coach, not just do what your coach says to do. And I think that's where I say it comes from, having a lack of accountability when it comes to communication. I even have on my pre-training questionnaire, rate your communication skills because we're going to put them to the test. I
I
feel
love
like
that. I
that's
love
something
that.
that's something that you have to bring up and bring out because it's all communication, like any other relationship.
Of course. And I think that, there's obviously an element of safety that we need to provide as coaches for clients to feel like, they're not going to be judged. But I also think too, piggybacking on that, communication, there is nothing to feel ashamed for when you're having these feelings come to the surface. When you're starting to feel like out, you're not feeling aligned. I'm a big believer of we all have are grown-up versions of ourselves that acts in the world probably realistically 65 to 70% of the time. And then the other 35, 30 to 35% of our decisions, I believe, are very much driven by inner child, meaning that inner child in that's in each and every one of us. She will scream, she will shout, just like a kid, they start with a whisper, right? You're on the phone. You're in the front seat, you're on a meeting, your kid's in the back seat going, "Mommy, mommy." And then it's mom, if you're not paying attention.
Shaking the
And
seat.
And so when that inner child starts whispering and you start feeling numb, or you start feeling whatever your sign of burnout might be, you start feeling detached. You start feeling like, "Man, I really want to just go eat all that peanut butter in the counter in the cupboard. I really want to go get that whole sleeve of Oreos." And logically, that's stupid. I'm not going to feel good about doing. It's okay to acknowledge your inner child's presence for wanting to rebel. Because
Absolutely.
if you don't, here's what happens. Inner child does take over. They usually win, right? You get your child to shut up by saying, "What? What?" Right? You do finally give in. And that rebellion is the component of each and every one of us that ghosts the coach. Because the little kid, the little child, the inner child usually is the one that wrongly, and I can say this because I've felt it before, wrongly feels guilty for wanting something different.
Yes.
But if you can just say, okay, I know this is my inner child. I know this feels crazy, but I'm going to tell my coach anyway. I had an athlete, she's on pretty
Yes.
low carb. She's like 6 weeks out from her show, and she checked in with me on her day. She's looking great. She's doing awesome. She checked in with me the other day and she said, Maddie, I want to binge so bad. I want to binge so bad. And I said, I don't care if you send me a message every 2 hours up until
Yes.
your show. I
Yes.
said, I will be there for you because that's all that is that inner child. Sometimes we need to, keep the guardrails on. I think like this is analogous to, have you ever been bowling and you're going to roll the bowling ball and like they put the little guardrails up on the
The I call it the little what is it? Trice, like the little tricycle, like training wheels for bowling.
Yes. Sometimes we just need those little training wheels on, right?
Yes,
And like, it is
absolutely.
okay to acknowledge the inner child, especially if for a while you're kind of oscillating and you're not really sure. You're feeling burnt out, but you're not really sure what the next path is. Put your training wheels up, reach out to your coach and say, hey, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm feeling some type of way. I'm feeling
Absolutely.
misaligned.
I
That
like
way,
that.
you don't hit rock bottom. You
No.
know, I think that we have this false belief, kind of talking on this tangent too, that
Yeah.
if our coach were to, I'm going to talk on an example again.
Okay.
I have an athlete right now who has thought for the last 3 years of us working together
Yeah.
that her path was going to be competing.
Okay.
And that was the path we were going to take. And all of a sudden, she woke up one day, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to eat intuitively. I want to learn how to eat intuitively. I want to nourish my body differently. And then all of a sudden, the fear crept in, right? It was like,
Oh.
what happens if I make this decision? And I think that sometimes we get in our heads that if we take a step back, we're never going to come back. We're never going to be able to come back.
No, but if I feel like that, like you said, people, and I'll say we feel like they're not able to come back from it. Like we feel like we're not able to come back from that. And it's nothing, I would like to rephrase that and say it's nothing to come back from. Like come back from what? Eating intuitively, living the lifestyle, going out and enjoying dates without thinking about the macros of everything and overanalyzing things. If that's the route you would like to go eventually, just know you're not going to be as food obsessed as you were when you were competitive. That's like a competitor thing. Like that is a competitor thing. So if you feel like you're going to pivot from being a competitor to more of a lifestyle client, you have nothing to come back from. You're just going to be a lifestyle client. You go out to eat, you enjoy dates. Not saying binging, because I feel like a lot of people will align not eating strictly on plan, whether it's meal plan or
But the exact
macro, to
opposite.
be, yeah, like a pendulum swing. There is no pendulum swing. You just eat as though you were 10 years old or 12 years old before you even knew what a macro was. You eat when you're hungry, and when you're not hungry, you don't eat. Or now that we're older, you have more knowledge. So it's like, I need to eat to fuel my body. And if you go from being a competitor to being a lifestyle client, you already have that baseline knowledge. Okay, I know I have to eat to fuel my body. I know when I'm tired, I may need more carbs. I know when I'm fatigued, I may need more fats or more sleep, more water, more electrolytes. Like all of these things, you start having the knowledge. I want to build. I need more protein. I need to increase calories or decrease some sort of macro of some sort, depending on what your goals are physically, because I feel like the macros really show up in your physique more than anything. And sometimes your mood, also your mood, but definitely your physique. So you want to slam more fats, and then your body is not fun for fats, then be prepared to see more body fat. But that's okay if that's your thing. So I feel like that comeback, they people feel like they're afraid to go into that intuitive eating mode because they feel like, oh, I've lost myself. No, you didn't. You're just a different client now. And even to talk about
Yeah, well,
ghosting your
and
coach too,
the reality
how
is
that
too, like much like anything else in life, right?
went.
If you pick up, you move to a new city, you can always move back,
Yeah.
right? You get in a relationship with the guy that you're questioning, you can always break up with them, right? Like
Yeah.
we always have the power to choose. And I want to take a moment right here and now to reframe the whole idea of burnout being this very this word that has such a negative connotation,
Oh,
okay?
yeah.
And even inner child, I think that sometimes we denote such negativity to our inner child. It's like that's the baby, right? But it's like at the end of the day, the inner child is also our intuition. And when we feel burnout, we are on the cusp of a huge revelation in pivot because you can't go much lower than rock bottom.
No.
And I have a friend right now. I'm going to share this story with our listeners because I think a lot of people can probably relate to this. But one of my best friends, Savannah, she's 3 months into a brand new, thriving and blossoming relationship.
Amazing.
And she's, yes, amazing. And she's working with a coach that she's paying. But she told me, you know, without a coach, Maddie, I spiral. She's like, I have to have this coach, but I spiral if I don't have one. So we get into this really deep conversation about whether the plan that she's following, she actually wants, or if she's just outsourcing her control. And it's interesting how, if this is the pattern that always happens for her, like she says, is it the protocol that she actually wants, or is it the, I guess, quote unquote, unbridled life she has outside of working with a coach that she actually wants? She went out for one dinner, okay, and she exceeded her calories by 1,000. And then she got back on track the next day and she felt shameful about it. And I actually want to take a moment to explain how this is actually that duality. Okay, the duality of needing control versus craving freedom and playing both sides of the fence is actually hurting you more than it's helping you. And the reason being is because a human that maybe didn't track, right? And they didn't hop off plan for a date night and exceed their calories by 1,000 and then jump back on plan the next day. Someone who wasn't playing both sides would just eat less the next day by nature of not being as
Yeah,
hungry.
like I'm not even hungry because I'm still full from yesterday.
Notice how when she's setting herself back because she's actually eating more, right, by going back into the bodybuilding plan that her coach had outlined for her. You know, a heart that knows what it wants and a mind that says, no, you need to be disciplined is some, and actually trying to feed both of those things is one of the most damaging things that you can do.
I don't know your follower base, but I am Christian, so I will say I always do this. I use this scripture for discernment. A double-minded man is pretty much saying, like, I'm gonna paraphrase because I don't know it by heart. So I don't know about heart, like what the Bible says, and plus different versions and things like that. But it's pretty much saying it's not good to be a double-minded because you're either gonna hate one thing and love the other, or you're gonna love the other and hate, love one and hate the other. It's gonna become a thing of betrayal at the end of the day. You just have to make up your
You
mind.
resent both.
You're gonna resent both, so you have to just make up your mind of where do you want to stand, and like they say, stand on business. Like whatever you want to do, whether you want to compete, whether you want to stay on plan, like stand on business and know that you're capable. And that goes into like something you spoke about the client relationship and like ghosting your client, a client ghosting you for 3 weeks or what have you. Not saying anyone is right or wrong, because I don't like to use right or wrong as a description for behavior, but I will say it wasn't the best thing to do because, one, I know you don't work for free, And I know I'm not going to pay for someone to do a service that they, I'm not going to pay my coach if I don't trust her. I see coaches as investments for whatever a hobby you choose, whether it's a coach for football, golf, tennis, that's an investment for your hobby. So I feel like fitness coaches and competitive coaches, that's what they are like you are. You're an investment for someone that wants to get their health on track, or investment for whatever options you choose. I know you have a wide array of clients. So if you're gonna go to your coach for 3 weeks, ask yourself, wow, are they really not worth my money that I don't trust them?
Well, and I also think,
You
no,
know,
but I
like
also
I
think
trust
too,
you,
like
girl. I'm paying you. I
it's also okay if you don't want to do that anymore, right? Like I
Yes.
watched my best friend sit there and agonize over paying her coach
Yes, and
when
that
she
always comes
wasn't
up in that conversation. That's why I brought it up. It always comes up.
Yeah, and it is okay to want to take a step back. I told her, I was like, you realize that you could be using this $300 for
A spa
trips or,
day.
well, I mean, for, I'm just saying, like, right now in this season of her life, what's going to really serve her better? She's trying to stay with the coach to keep a certain body composition, but I said, ironically, you'd probably be leaner if you were eating intuitively on that tangent of you'd probably eat less on the after the days that you ate more with your boyfriend, and you would have a more, you'd have more financial flexibility to do
Yes.
things in this blossoming relationship. And you can always, like I
Absolutely.
said, jump right back into coaching. So,
Absolutely.
Shan, as
Absolutely.
we
I
segue
agree.
here, I want to concentrate now on kind of the art of pivoting, okay? How have you made a pivot? I can talk on mine, of course,
Yeah.
but I want to also hear from you first. How have you pivoted in your own personal health and fitness journey?
I started health and fitness when I was in the service. It was so random. It was nothing I said I wanted to do. I did not think I was going to look the way I did. I just was like, I need to get in shape so I can do my job. And that's a big thing when you're in uniform, is being physically capable of things, whether it's endurance, running, strength, whatever the case may be. You just want to have something to do. And then I spent a lot of time on deployments, and it's not much you can do but work out. So got into it. It was fun. And I ended up finding a coach. Long story short, I ended up finding a coach through like a LA Fitness. And I was like, I really like this. I want to be more intentional. I started out like anyone else. I didn't know what a macro was. I never tracked anything. I just went to the gym. I was your everyday your average person, your average Joe in the gym. I went to the gym, I picked up a weight, no structure, doing things that I probably seen on Instagram or YouTube, no plan. And I said, the first pivot was like, I'm gonna get a coach. I'm gonna invest in one of the fitness trainers at the local gym. I did that. And then once I learned more about competing, and not really for the sake of competing, but the structure that they had, I wanted more structure. And then I reached out to a coach, which is my current coach. And I pivoted and I started doing that, which was so eye-opening for me. No, like buying my first food scale. Like I still remember buying my first food scale. I still have it. And weighing things out and counting macros or following a meal plan. I've never done that. So that was the first initial pivot. Well, I'll say the second in the sense, in my fitness journey. And then when I dropped my coach, who is now my coach, I dropped her for a year, due to financial reasons. I just bought my house. I had a mortgage. I didn't know. I'm like, I don't want to put my money towards, I can't, I don't want to put, I can't, you're not, how did I didn't, I respectfully said, it's not worth me paying for a coach right now. I will come back. I love you, girl. But right now I got to focus on my home. And because I was getting renovations done, I bought a house, a fixer upper. What everyone says they want to do, I did it. I'm doing it. I'm actually getting a wall knocked down Monday. But I did that, and I was like, man, I still want to compete. I've learned a lot from my previous coach. I've learned a
So
lot
let
from
me
the
interrupt you
fitness
for a second.
community. Yeah, come on.
Why, that's what I really want to concentrate on. When you had that moment of I need my money to go elsewhere. And you knew you needed to pivot. How did you? Because I think a lot of people, right, they panic. It's like, I don't know how to stay grounded in this season. I'm going off on my own. Or, maybe you've been with a coach and you, if you had stayed, I don't know if this has ever happened to you in your journey, but you need to pivot in that you get injured and maybe your focus with your coach needs to change. Or you're thinking, I'm going to compete in 4 months, and all of a sudden 4 months turns into, oh crap, it's going to be actually a year and a half before I step on stage. What goes through your mind, and how do you keep yourself calm?
I say I love my coach. I know she knows her stuff, but so do I. I love me and I know my stuff. So I don't give my coach so much control. I communicate every, I send her voice memos. Girl, I am freaking out right now. I'm 5 pounds up. I'm PMSing. My cycle starts next week. And she knows it. She's been coaching me year round, even in the off season. So that's how I stay grounded. I give myself control as well. And I know that I am, you hire a coach to not just do what they tell you to do, but to communicate, like I said, but to also learn from them. I've learned so much from my coach that when I did drop her, I still competed that year. I did a whole off season without her. I did a whole prep without her, and I prepped myself to the stage and did very well because of what I learned from her. So don't give your coach, split the power, split the power between yourself and your coach. Like, your coach knows if you trust them, you trust their knowledge, at least for them to handle your body. This is all hormones here we're dealing with, okay? You're dealing with your hormones, you're dealing with your physique, your mental health, and all these things. You're dealing with a lot of stuff when you're trusting a coach. So trust their knowledge as well. And if you do have to step away with the knowledge that you've gathered from them. So give yourself some control too,
I think that that's a really powerful thing, because I am obviously I'm now training for a high rocks, right?
Nice. The
Which
girls
is
are doing high
very
rocks
different.
now. I'm loving
Oh
it.
girl, I'm so excited. I'm signed up for the Chicago or Boston high rocks, and then I'm planning on doing Anaheim and Chicago this year too. But it's been kick ass. Like right now I'm sitting here like absolutely dying. We had crazy. I just PR'd on snatches, and then I did a total of, let's see,
Yes, girl.
I did 20 bo or 30 box jumps, 20 burpee bo 30 burpee box jumps, and 40 box step overs in under 8 minutes. And then I had a whole other half workout to finish after that. So I'm dying, needless to say. No, but yeah, so
Can I just pause
I
and say a depleted and in prep bikini body could never.
Oh,
Could
girl, it is.
never. And that's why I don't obsess over leanness either. And I obsess over food just being fuel because.
Well, you know what's so funny is right now I'm on like 1300 calories. I'm cutting for a photo shoot this weekend. So, yeah,
Actually,
depleted could actually.
I stand corrected.
No, but do as I say, not as I do. No, but really. So, obviously I'm very excited about this. I'm feeling very fulfilled and very aligned. However,
Good.
at the very beginning, or at the, I guess, midway point of last year, I had every intention on going to the Olympia. Like
I
that was
know, I know.
my next thing. I have a whole playlist on my YouTube of like Olympia prep. Like that was like my thing. And I never, at this point in my career, and I think that was one of the things that bodybuilding really did teach me, was the power of listening to that inner voice and that inner child that, we've now renamed in this podcast as our intuition. And I remember walking into, in St. Petersburg here, we have a gym. I don't know why I'm blank. It's called Epic. And Epic
Oh,
is where
nice. I've
Ali
heard of
B was
it.
training for a while. So I was training at Epic, and I remember I would go like every day, and all of a sudden I did start having that feeling of just numbness. And eventually that numbness turned to like disdain and dread. And I would pull up to the gym and I'm like, all right, here we go again. Same workout, this, that, and the other. And then one day my friend introduced me to Pilates, and I went to Pilates. And after about a month of doing that, I'm like, this sucks. I hate this too. And so then that
I'm
same
cracking
friend who
up.
was it, she was an instructor of Pilates. She said, hey, I'm going to go to a HYROX gym, and I think you should come try it out with me. I'm like, okay, so I'll go try it out. So went to go try the HYROX gym, and I have to say, it was like a fire got lit up underneath me. It was like all of a sudden, while this very much so contradicted my entire plan for myself, it was like that inner child was like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I knew, my mom always tells me, sometimes you just have to do it scared. I knew
Yes,
that
absolutely.
I didn't need to fully, I know that a pivot usually means a 180 degree. It's okay to give yourself permission to not fully do a 180 when you're
Yes.
starting to feel that sign of burnout, and it's time for you to start rewriting your path. I just said, you know what? I'm going to go to the HYROX gym 3 days a week, and then the other three, I'm going to go to the gym. And the three turned into four, and the four turned into five, and then the five turned into six, and then it turned back into
And you're
four.
like, sign me up.
And I started doing Run Unlimited classes. And so I just
Exactly.
want to encourage anybody, like, if I never listened to that little whisper that I was feeling burnt out on something, I would have never found HYROX. And sometimes we don't even know what's on the other side of rest and acknowledging that inner child.
Amen. Amen. I have two notes I want to pull from that. Two things you said was,
Yeah.
not even fully pivoting. So in the military, we have this thing called a half right face or a half left face. So you'll hear people say left face, right face, meaning you're turning a whole, yeah, I'm turning this that way or I'm turning this way. Well, you can also do a half left or a half right face. You don't have to do a whole 90 degree turn. You can just do a 45 degree turn. So that's what I
Beautiful.
thought about. And you're still in sync, you're still in step, and you're still in coordination with everything around you. So it doesn't
Right.
mean that you're in the wrong place. That was one note. And then another note, when you said the inner child being having a negative connotation, I feel like in that excitement you said you got like my inner child was excited. I think it's because some
Right.
people think the inner child is also innocent. Children, like your inner child is innocent. They don't know. So you give
Right.
yourself something new to know. That is exciting. Give
Well,
yourself
and I think
something
too,
to look
like
forward to.
we talk about the naivety of children, right? It's like they have no bias. They have no
No.
they're not, they have no prejudice. They have no
Yes, I
anything.
work in
It's
peace,
just
and yes.
yes. And then all of a sudden, as we grow up and we have life experiences and we're a byproduct of our surroundings and this, that, and the other, we start to d develop our own biases, like I said. So sometimes the best thing to really listen to is that inner child, because
Yes,
sometimes, like we
absolutely.
talked about, inner child being instinct is like your deepest, most intrinsic feelings and whispers of what you really want. And so it's okay to tell that inner child, no, I still have the reins here. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to pursue this, but I'm not going to fully let go of the other things that make me feel good. For example, I am going to a HYROX gym. I'm not bodybuilding right now, but guess what? I'm still tracking macros, right? I still have on the thought track of, you said you didn't completely let go of what your coach said. Your pivot wasn't rebellion. And I think that that's the thing that we need to differentiate between here. A pivot
Absolutely.
doesn't mean that you are going to start binge eating or that you're going to gain 100 pounds, right? A
No.
pivot sometimes just means holding on to the principles that are going to still substantiate and support your new endeavor, but
Absolutely.
doing something different.
And now I feel like that, and also contributing to that, you could avoid burnout. Like, which one is worse, doing a slight pivot or a slight half face or feeling burnt out? Like, you pick your poison, because one or the other is going to happen eventually. And the longer you prolong the burnout, and I don't feel like you said burnout could sometimes have a negative connotation, but it also just means I'm going through a season of growth. I'm going through a season of growth. I may be going through a season of limbo where I don't know if I'm coming or going, but you have to enjoy that too because that phase is so short. Oh my goodness. If you ever lived, you've been through a limbo. You know, like
Oh,
this
nobody likes
phase
limbo.
feels
We're humans that rely on certainty, right?
exactly
And I
like, oh,
think
this feels so long and drawn out.
cling to that, sister. Like if you know you're in a season of ebbs and flows and you know that you're feeling uncertain, I don't know about you, but I mean, God forbid, knock on wood, I've never been unemployed, but it's like if I was in a season of unemployment, I sure as hell am not going to stay there for long, right? It's like
It's so short. It's such a short period.
you know that if you're feeling uncomfortable, just give yourself that affirmation. I'm not going to be here for long. I'm
That's
not going to
it.
be here for long.
I
So
agree. Agreed.
we're talking right now already on our next topic, which is the deeper signals, physical symptoms being sometimes deeper signals here. You know, it's we talked about the mental, but I also want to pivot on that topic and say that burnout is not always just mental.
Oh
Right.
no.
For athletes and competitors, maybe they can relate to this a little bit better than anybody else. However, it's something important that I want to address on this topic, and that is the hormonal, the metabolic, and even the emotional consequences of overtraining. You know,
Yeah.
I think that a good question, for us to kind of explore is like how many women are mistaking true physiological imbalance for mental weakness?
Oh yeah.
And what red flags maybe should we not be ignoring? I know that I work with hundreds, over the course of my career, girls who are missing cycles. They've got low energy. They've got libido dips.
At such young
And
age. Ooh.
oh my gosh, 20 years old. I'm
I'm
like,
like, what?
girl, when I was 20 years old, but
Like, fan me. You gotta have to put a fan on me because I was in my feet or something. I'm gonna be honest. I married young. Yes. I'm like, libido drop, mood drop. I was the life partner. What do you mean?
I think that, we live in a society these days where we glorify more, 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 more. I had last week on or 2 weeks ago on my podcast, I had the owner of my High Rocks gym, Jody Stabile, on, and we kind of talked about that hedonic, it's definitely glorified, I know, in like just in the female space. And that is like the more you do, the more badass you are. It's like, oh, you go run 5 miles, you go compete in a High Rocks, you're also training for a marathon, you're raising 4 kids, you're married to a husband that sits on the couch, and go you. Where's your trophy? It's like we and then we go lay down at bed in bed at night and we look at our husband and gag. And it's like, girl, maybe you're not feeling the mental sign of burnout, but your body's showing it. You haven't had a period in 2 months? Problem. And so
Stress, and
when
that's
you
so much
start
stress.
feeling this, when we start feeling this burnout, I can raise my right hand so freaking high and attest to the fact that when I start to feel burnt out, the last thing that I want to do is slow down. And I can also attest to the fact that the most powerful version of myself has shown through in the moments where I have honored the power of slowing down. I was reading a book yesterday. It's called 101 Essays That'll Change the Way That You Think. And it read in this book that a packed agenda is not success. Things are not split into, and I quote, times in which you're doing something that other people can quote unquote quantify, and quote unquote times you're doing nothing. It's all important. In fact, your deepest revelations happen in silent moments with yourself. Being crowded with people and appointments and ideas and creative outpourings wouldn't be so profound and stunning if there weren't also moments of loneliness and mental drought. The focal point of a piece of art wouldn't exist without negative space to frame it. And this hit home and hard for me because personally, when I start to feel, like I said, any sign of burnout, I tend to find myself overloading my schedule to distract me from what I actually need, which is just a step back.
Yes, a lot of that. It was so much I could have pulled from that statement. I always revert back to a spiritual compass, always. And I feel like I am one that is the, my family call me Miss 1-800. Miss 1-800, Miss Get It Done, Miss HR. You want something done, call Sham, she'll figure it out. And I've always been that way. I'm the oldest, of five. I'm the oldest, and I'm a girl, you know, like oldest daughter syndrome here. So I've just like to run things. But then I got older, and especially when I got the military, everything was so slow. I went into cybersecurity when I, as soon as I got out, because I had my top secret. I was doing data analytics, all these things. So I was like, good, but it's so fast paced. And when I transitioned into civilian, I was like, this is so slow. I found myself packing my schedule with everything. I was doing outreach, and it was all positive things. I'm doing church outreach, I'm doing
Yes, and that
child
is it.
care.
That is it. It doesn't need to be negative things. You don't need to do drugs. You don't need to start drinking, although some people do. You can overload yourself with, like you said, volunteering at church, community group, still overload.
I'm planning stuff with my girlfriends. Let's go for a walk and coffee. Let's do that. I was loading myself with things to do. Although, granted, positive, and like you said, the more you do, especially the more positive you do, the more praise you get. And I had a loaded resume of all the things I've done, and that spiritual compass was shaking like a magnetic, like it was like, go the other way. And it was because I wasn't sitting still enough to just breathe. Like, you know, girl, I know you got your accolades, so you know about like tidal volume, and just what that is. It's just your breath rate when you're just sitting down. And I think about like a tide coming in and out, is in, like it's like a breath. And I said that is the perfect way to remember a tidal volume. And when I notice myself running like that, it's like extreme expiration, extreme inhalation. It's like breathe. It's like hyperventilation, you know. And I'm like, I need that tidal volume back. I need to get to a good homeostasis where I can breathe, where I can just listen to my spirit talk, where I can listen to what God has to say for me, so I can to me, so I can listen to where do I need to be in this moment. And it may not
Well,
be
and
physically.
it may be comforting for listeners too to know that I've also had moments where when I don't stop and I am go, 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 that inner child, she's not always right. Sometimes that inner child will say, Maddie, quit your job, quit your job, go get a 9 to 5, go get a 9 to 5, right? And then
Oh no.
I stop and I get silent. And I reflect and I think about my lifestyle and I think about how fulfilling this type of work is. And I think about how aligned it really does feel. And I visualize, what do I see myself doing when I wake up? And I couldn't picture it any different. And I
No.
realize, okay, you know what? I only want to rebel because maybe there's a kink in my system. But it's not that I'm out of alignment. So sometimes when you have that feeling of burnout or you have that feeling of rebellion, don't always run from it because sometimes it
No.
also may not mean that you're on a wrong path. Maybe you're on the right path and you just got a little kink in the hose.
That's it. And that is it. And I like the way you said, like, I think about what I want to do. Do I want to have slow mornings? Do I want to wake up and get sit in traffic every day? Do I want to leave work feeling like I didn't accomplish much, or I did my small part in the world? Or do I want to wake up, I want to have a slow morning, or a morning what I consider a leisurely morning? Or do I want to just, like you said, I almost went and got a 9 to 5. Not saying that anything is wrong with 9 to 5, but for what you want to do, if you want to go for a walk on a Tuesday morning at 10, you could do that and type out emails as you go. You know, you could do that and send voice memos if you need. You know, you can do that, and it makes you hone in on like, what do you, what, that's what keeps me going, really, is where do I envision myself? What do I see my life like? And especially being young women, I feel like a lot of your listeners are young women, and a lot of young women are successful these days. Like, I'm one of them. You're one of them. And a lot of women are on their way. Like, I'm older. I'm 28. It took me a minute to get here. But, you know, it's or they're on their way. So it's okay to
Sure.
like slow down, take a deep breath, look around and envision where do you want yourself to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I've been thinking a lot, where do I want my finances to be? Like, I'm pretty good, but would I like to do more? Do I want to go to Europe more? Do I want to travel overseas? I have my passport. I've been overseas a couple times. How often do I want to do that? And what does my lifestyle look like if that's what I want to do? And that sounds very
And
far-fetched for a lot of people, but for me, it's like, no, not far-fetched.
I think too, like as you were talking about, just like taking inventory of your feelings, right? Something that I know that a lot of my clients, they're like, Maddie, just shut up, right? Because I'm a big why girl. I explain the why to everything. And I do it because the inner child or the instinct or the gut feeling, she loves to rebel. And there will be times where I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm signed up for a workout class this afternoon. I'm exhausted. I'm cramping. I've already gone for a walk. I had no sleep loss, whatever it may be, right? And I'm thinking, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I am not telling our listeners to listen to that inner child, right? I'm telling our listeners to then stop for a second. This is something that always grounds me and ask, why am I doing it? And if you don't have an answer as to why, this is why I tell my clients, I want you to eat the cruciferous veggies. Here is why. Here is why. Because if you stop and just ask yourself, why am I tracking my steps? Why am I doing a 30-minute walk after my lunch? Why am
That's
I
good.
right now limiting my fats to 50 grams when I would love to have 65? Why? And if you can't answer the why, hire a new coach who's going to explain it, and then make sure that if you can't answer the why, that you ask yourself, is this really what I want? That if you're
Exactly.
able to answer the why, you may not actually want to do the behavior is what I'm getting at, but
Right.
you may realize that there's value in it. Okay, so when you're
Exactly.
tempted to rebel, that's a really good ritual to help to stay in alignment and grounded is, why am I doing this? Why?
Absolutely. Even if it's
And
like you said, like if you don't have an answer to it, like that's a problem. And why don't you know the answer? You know, do you have a
Right,
coach that's
exactly. Is it
willing to tell you?
misinformation?
Yeah. Do you have a coach that's willing to tell you? Or are you just not, or maybe you do and you don't want to ask because you don't want to bother your coaches. I hear that a lot, even from my girls. I don't want to bother you. I'm like, girl, I don't do anything. I don't have a life. I always say, I don't have a life. I don't have a job. I'm like, I do things well enough to where people pay me. You know, I do my hobbies well enough so that I get compensated for it. It doesn't feel like it's a job because everything I do, I'm very passionate about it. And that goes into adherence. You're not going to adhere about to anything if you're not passionate about it. Ensure that you're passionate and passionate about the journey, not just the physique on the way, you know, as a result of the journey, but the journey itself, like be passionate about the learning you're getting from your coach. Be passionate about, like if you're on a team, the camaraderie that comes with it. Like just find something to be passionate about it and let it drive you. I feel like as we become adults, we kind of lose passion a little bit. We just become very serious sometimes. But it's okay
I
for people
think
to have some childlike passion and some innocence and some excitement about things.
too, you brought up a really good point just now. And what you were talking about was all beautiful and wonderful things that come from coaching, right? Like you and I are humans, and for a lot of our clients, we're best friends. Like this is truly what we love to do. And I just want to remind our audience that I know it's easier to ghost or to stop paying out of ego protection, but in actuality, I can say this from experience, it feels so much better to know that you have a coach that you could return back to because you didn't burn that bridge.
I even have clients where I look forward to seeing them branch off and see what they do without me. Like, I have one girl and she started with me maybe 3 years ago. And she was doing her own thing. She was still paying me because it's on a subscription base. So she was still paying me. And I was like, hey, I noticed you haven't been logging in the app. I noticed you haven't been tracking anything in the app because I do everything out of an app. And she was like, yeah, I've just kind of been doing my own. I said, how about this? I trust you. I want to see what you do on your own. And she was like, are you trying to break up with me? And she was so scared to just say, I don't want to, like to completely cut me off. But I'm like, I've worked with you for so many years and you've come such a long way to the point where you're doing this on your own. Now, I don't know if I want to say I'm that damn good, but I'm that damn good. So I'm like, you know what? Just let me see where you, it's like kicking the bird out of the nest. And she does good. She has like a whole fitness page. I don't post my clients. That's my selling point, is all of my clients are private. You will never see a client on my social media. You will never see any, you wouldn't even know I have clients if I didn't tell you. And that's my selling point. A lot of my clients are older women. They may have insecurities and things like that. They might not even have social media. A lot of my clients don't even have Instagram. They might have Facebook. Like they're older. And I love
And at
that.
the end of the day, our goal is to love on our people and hope that one
Exactly.
day,
That's all
if
I
they
care
need us, that
about.
they come back. They come back.
Exactly. So
You
seeing
guys.
her post herself, I'm like, she has a whole Fistagram, FIT, I guess, a Fistagram. And she like tags me and pay homage to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, girl. But it's just so good to see that. And that's why I'm like, if you feel like you're at a point where you don't need a coach, I mean, I don't like to push that, but it just really depends on the goal of the coach also. And what's your journey? Like, what do you see your journey as? Like, I wouldn't mind my coach going from being my prep coach to also being a lifestyle coach when I no longer want to prep, and then eventually just becoming a mentor that I reach out to here and there if I no longer need coaching. And I say, hey, Court, her name is Courtney. Hey, Court, I'm just reaching out because I'm interested in this new supplement and it says this, or I'm
Yeah, I
thinking of
actually
this,
I have a few
this, and
girls that I'm
that.
working with right now as a business mentor, but
Yes.
it's kind of cool because they'll work with me. I had one girl that worked with me for lifestyle coaching for almost 2 years.
Nice.
She didn't ghost me, she didn't burn a bridge. She came back around and said, "I'm starting my own practice and I wanted to know if you could mentor me." And I said, "Of course." Right? So
Yes.
you never know where those relationships are really gonna go. And again, look at her pivoting so gracefully, right?
Exactly. And then I
So,
feel like word of mouth. All of my clients are word of mouth. Like they're word of mouth clients. And I love that. I'm like, you seen her where? Like they're all over the world. Like they're all over here. They're like California, some are in Virginia, some are in Texas, some in Alabama. But it's like, it's really cool to be a part of someone's life from this little square that I call myself sitting in, like operating in. So just being impactful and knowing that coaches won't be mad if you say, hey, I may need to take a step back, whether it's for financial reasons, mental health reasons, to test your own capabilities and then just come back. I mean, it doesn't have to
And we're not
be.
mad either to help someone pivot.
Yeah,
You don't
no,
always
like.
need to break up with a coach to have a redefined pattern.
Exactly. And that's
So,
what I'm getting at.
this conversation was such a needed exhale. Shan, thank you so much for your
Exactly.
honesty, your
Thank
wisdom, and
you.
your heart. If
Thank
today's episode hit home, if you're somebody who's been pushing hard and feeling that little whisper of burnout, you are not alone. And you don't have to quit to pause. You don't have to ghost your coach to get your power back. If you're
No.
looking for more personalized support, our one-on-one coaching at the Empowered Coaching Collective is always here, fully tailored, fully human, and designed for long-term sustainability. And for those of you feeling a little burnt out on structure, we've actually got two incredible a la carte offerings: our 6-week simplified program, no check-ins, just structure, support, and sanity, and our 12-week HYROX prep course, beginner to advanced athletes welcome, with a final race or mock HYROX to anchor your growth. You can find all the details in the description below. And as always, be kind to one another and don't forget to include yourself in the mix. We'll see you guys in just 2 weeks.
Bye.